Where did we leave off last week? Test
them
in
Olive. I'm leaving Shani Yoros, that's what I'm asking.
Leaving?
For Israel.
I'm leaving to Israel Sunday from California.
I'll meet you halfway.
Okay. I'll arrive there Monday evening. Yes. Yes. Where did we leave off? Test them in Olive on the bottom?
Yeah. Yeah. You went two mitzvahs together, then you went back.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Rabbi Gold has the art site this week for his mother-in-law. We dedicate the learning Lezecha Nishma Soisha Nanya Basra of David. And we wish Mr. Koopman a refuah shleima. He's having surgery tomorrow. Moshe David Ben Bina. We should have him in mind in our tefillas, Mr. Koopman. Okay, we left off, I think, three lines from the bottom of Tesam and Aleph. The Gemara quotes a Braisa from the Tosefta that gives Divrei Musar. Tes, Daf Tes, Amid Aleph, towards the bottom, the last three lines. Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa says, the Saito Nosna Eineha, the Mishena Roila. She had her eyes placed on someone else, on a different man. She had no right to be with the other man. So what's the end of the story? The end result is, what she desired, she wanted to be with the other man. What she desired, she didn't get, because she's an Eishes Ish. And because she was Mizana, so she loses her husband also. They have to get divorced. Even if she doesn't die from drinking the Maim Amarim, the Saita Zasur Labaila. What she had already, namely her husband, not Luhumimena, they took away from her. Whoever has a big eyes and he wants to take away something from someone else that that's not his and he has no right to it, that's what's going to happen. What he desired to get, he's not going to succeed in getting. And they take away what he had already. So the Gemara starts going through other cases in Tanakh. That's what happened. So the Gemara says, What motivated the Nachash to coax Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas? What's the Gevolt over here? What Hanor did he get from encouraging Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas? So Rashi fills you in the whole story. It says, Hanochash Ishiyani. So Rashi writes on the top line, Nosanena b'Chava. He had a desire to be with Chava. Chava was a human being and he was a Nachash. But according to the Medrash, at that time the Nachash walked on 2 feet, and that was the punishment. Al gachon chatelach, you will no longer be able to walk on 2 feet; you'll have to roll on your belly. So he walked on 2 feet. He was, in a certain sense, similar to a human being. So he had such a desire to be together with Chava. So he had a whole plan. She said, "Hanachash hishiani, poshim shach hishiani, Nachash at me'aingeret." The Nachash coaxed me and convinced me I should eat from the Eitz Hadas. Also, yeah. So here Rashi quotes, this is a medrash, Hishiyani is malacha, Hishiyani is a shin, and Nisuin is a sin, but it's spelled with the same letter, shin, just the nekud is here, nekud is there. So the medrash understands, Hishiyani malachim Nisuin. The Nachash wanted to marry me, so he wanted that I should get all the Marishan teeth from the Eitz Hadas, that all the Marishan should die. So I'll be an Amana, so then he'll be able to live with me. Then the Nachash will be able to marry me. Kozman, that she's married to Adam Rishon, the Nachash is not going to be Baal Eish Ezish, but or Adam Rishon won't let him. Adam Rishon won't let him. So he wants to bump off Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon was the one who heard from the Rabbanu Shalom directly, B'yom HaChochem Menu, Thomas, you're going to die when you eat from the Eitz Hadas. Chava was never told directly from the Rabbanu Shalom. She heard from her husband. So the Nachash had such a plot. This is the Medrash understands like that.
She's gone with Mrs. Nachash or something, a lady Nachash.
She was better looking, I guess. Chava was better looking. So that's what the Medrash says. So that's where the Gemara goes with that Medrash. The Nachash akad meini, nosa neina b'mesh, eina roilo. He had such a desire to be with Chava. So mashi bikish lo nosno lo. He didn't succeed in getting Chava. What he had, he was walking around on 2 feet. He was agansa knake. The Nachash was. What does Rashi say? Rashi says the koma zikufa, the ability to walk on the 2 feet like a human being a little bit. That was natlu mimenu, and he was punished al gachon chatelach.
Actually, the scientists have shown that the Nachash has remnants of
legs.
Legs.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's what this medrash is based on. Yeah. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, so the Ribbono Shel Olam made a comment. Ani Amar to Yehi Melech HaKol Behema V'Chaya. Originally, my plan was that the Nachash should walk on two feet. He should be the king of all the animals. V'achshav. Now the Nachash is punished because he caused Adam and Chava to sin. Oruhum Mikol HaBehema Mikol Chayas HaSod. Now he's cursed, more cursed than the other animals. And the Amarti, the Baruch Shalom says, my original plan was Yehalach Bekoyim as a Kufa, he should walk on two feet. Achshav Al Gachon Chelach. And the Amarti, the Baruch Shalom says, my original plan was he should eat food like a human being. Yehem Achol HaMaychol Adam. Achshav, now I have the punishment. Ofer Yoichal. Now he has to eat offer. There's another agadita. The Gemara has an agadita when it's a medrash also in Bereshis Rabbah. That when a human being wants to take nekama from someone else who ba'avled him, so you take nekama at Ein Sof. You want to kill him and mafsid his parnasa and burn down his house. People they're wild. They want the Rabbanu Shlomo is very nice when he wants to punish someone. He gives them a little punishment. It doesn't have to go at Ein Sof. So the medrash says, look at the Rabbanu Shel Olam. He punished the Nachash, but there's a silver lining over here in the punishment. He never goes hungry. There's always offer all over. He'll never be hungry. Calls man that he was eating like a human being was eating human food. So sometimes there's no food. So you're gonna go hungry. Now that he eats offer techel kaim echayecho. So the rabbi said there's a good side to this. So the Beltrek Takashe is the nimtza chayte niskar. So it comes out that he's rewarded because of the fact that he sinned. So now he never has a dankas hapanasa. He's always going to have what to eat. Yeah. So it doesn't make any sense. But what kind of a punishment is that? It comes out that he's rewarded. So they quote from Chassidus Rebbe, one of the early Chassidus Rebbes, that that's really a punishment. When a person has sometimes, once in a while, a problem, has a problem with parnasa, has a problem with his health, has a problem finding a shidduch, has a problem with having children, problem marrying off the children, whatever. So he knows, he has to daven to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. When a person has ashiras and good looks and happiness and marriage and everything goes his way, there's nothing to daven for. The whole yesod of tefillah is be'ez tzora. The Ramban holds that there's a machlik, is the Rambam and the Ramban. So the Rambam's opinion, the Gemara says tefillah is only by the Rabbanu. So the Rambam holds as how is that possible? Tefillah is only Rabbanah. How can you visualize the Jewish religion? Tefillah is only Rabbanah. So the Rambam says not so. The Gemara says on the first daf in Tainus, what is avodah shebelev? Is tefillah. So the Rambam holds tefillah once a day, every day is deraisa. But the Gemara says tefillah is the Rabbanah. That means three times a day in the specific nusach tefillah, the way the Anshei Knesset HaGdol instituted. That's when the Rabbanah. But tefillah is deraisa. Once a day, every day is deraisa. And the Ramban disagrees. Says no. The whole that the Rabbanu Shalom listened to the tefillah, if you daven, Rabbanu Shalom listens, and sometimes he'll grant your request, sometimes not. That's avada, there's a kiyum ha-tefillah. It's not like talking to the wall. The Rabbanu Shalom promises he's a shamer tefillah, he's going to listen to the tefillahs. But the obligation to daven, the Rabban house is only tefillah b'yeis tzara. When there's a catastrophe, when there's a melchameh, or there's a rov, or there's an epidemic or something, and something is going wrong, then tefillah is deraisa. So Rav Soloveitchik was always fond of saying his avod al derech hadrash. The Rambam also masking with the Ramban that tefillah is only deraisa b'yeis tzora. But the Rambam holds that the Rambam learns out from the pasuk liov the b'chol avavchem every day. The human situation is so fragile that we have to realize that we're always b'yeis tzora. And even if we have a good parnasa and we're happily married and we have children and they have shidduchim and everything is going well, everything can kezach heper in 1 minute. So we still have to daven to Rabbanu Shalom because everything is so fragile, we'll always be a tzor. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik always used to say. The mechayv of tefillah, bein l'shitas haram, bein l'shitas haramban, is the eis tzora. Tzora. When there's a tzora, you have to daven. So the ikar part of the tefillah is the bakoshes tzorochim, the middle part of the shmanes. It's not the acheret to knock on the door of Rabbanu Shalom, he opens the door and say, I need parnas, I need children, I need a shidduch, I need grandchildren, I need this, I need that. So Derech Eretz dictates you have to start with an introduction and end with the conclusions. You have to start with Shevach. Yodam Yisadu Adam Shvachu Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'achakach Yispal. So first you say Shevach and at the conclusion you have to offer Hoidoya. But that's not the essence of the tefillah. The essence of the tefillah is the middle part, namely the bakasha sarachim, that Rabbanu Shalom should take care of all of our needs. So that's what this Dvorke Rebbe said, this word. That the punishment of the Nochash, what's the punishment of the Rabbi Chayte Niska? Now he never has a dangas hapanasa. He's always going to have what to eat. He'll never go hungry. So he said, that's terrible. If a person or an animal is never lacking anything, he has everything that he needs. So there's never any, he'll never feel the need to daven to the Rabbanu Shalom. So that's a disaster. That's a terrible thing.
Who says Chayte Niska? Maybe it actually tastes like offer. It doesn't mean that it's good taste.
That's a Medrash says that also. Whatever he eats, even if he eats delicious cholent, is going to taste like offer. That's another Medrash. But the Medrash says, offer, this is Gemara also, offer toichal kol yemechayecha. When the Rabbanu Shalom punishes, he doesn't punish ad kalei. He punishes, but this is silver lining. So nish gefelchi, he's always going to have parnos. So what's going to have parnassus? So he's better off than he was before. So they say, no, he's not better off. If he has no need whatsoever, never be in need, so that's a terrible thing. That people are in need is healthy. The Imoyes were Akoros. So the Gemara has such a comment in Yevamos. How come Avram and Sora, Yitzchak and Rivka, everybody had problem having children? Why were there Akoros? The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu misabel tefilosam shel tzadikim. Rabbanu Shalom gave them tzoris that they should be able to daven. They should come closer to him by davening. The tzoris are sometimes given to people that they should develop bitochen in their Rabbanu Shalom. They should be able to daven. It's not always a punishment for the person. Sometimes it's to develop the midah bitochen, to daven to the Rabbanu Shalom. They were telling us about a case. There used to be a rabbi who was in Florida. He's now in Eretz Yisrael. His name Leif. I forgot his name. He's in... Matatyo or something. Yeah, Lef. So he was telling of an instance. There was the Jewish Federation there had a, wherever he was rabbi, somewhere in Florida, they had a counseling service for the Jewish people who had family problems. So this young boy came thinking that he was Jewish because his father was Jewish. The end of the story was his mother was not Jewish. It turned out that he wasn't Jewish at all, but they took care of him, and then they sent him to another agency to help him out. So the boy was so distraught. The mother had passed away, and the child was a yosim, so the father was raising him. The father wanted to remarry, so the father met another woman, and she was interested in marrying him, but she didn't want to get married with this teenager in the house. So she agreed to marry the father if he'll somehow get rid of the son. So the father gave the son a true story. The father gave the son a credit card, and he bought him an apartment, and he said, move out of the house. This is your apartment. You can always charge everything to the credit card, le'olam void, on one condition, never come back to the house, never see me, never call on the phone, because I fell in love with this woman, and I want to marry the woman, and that's the condition of the marriage. So the child had kol tov. He had an apartment, and he had a credit card that's good, le'olam void. The child was terrible. He fell to pieces. He's not wanted. The father's throwing him out of the house. That's exactly what happened to the Nochash. The Rabbanu Shalom gave him a credit card. He didn't speak about the Nochash. This is what they say. Rabbi Tzalavurka says like that. Rabbanu Shalom gave him a credit card that Le'olam Vod, you're going to have Parnasa. Offer Teuchel, you'll always eat offer. There's always offer. That's a punishment. When a person has Kol Tuv Selo, he never has any lack for anything. That's a curse. That's a curse. So the Gemara said, this was the plan. Hu amar, here on the fifth line from the top. Hu amar, the Nochash's plan was, Aharag is Adam, I'm going to see to it that Adam Rishon should die. How's he going to see to it? He'll see to it that he eats from the Eis Hadas. And Rabbanu Shalom told Adam Rishon directly, V'yom ha'chalchem emenu, Mos Tomos. Rabbanu Shalom didn't tell Chava. So he assumed Chava is not going to die from eating from the Eis Hadas. Adam Rishon is going to die. So then he'll be able to marry Chava. Who am I? The plan of the Nochash was Aragasad Malsitu that she got killed, the Esa Schavo, and I will marry his wife, Anainfal. The Nochash is she's gonna go for the Nochash. Achshav, everyone who sins has such ridiculous chalomis. He's gonna bump off Adam Rishon, is gonna marry Chava. Who says Chava is gonna want to marry a Nochash, even though the Nochash walks on two legs? I'm Shigaz, everyone who sins has the Gemara said earlier, no, ish ish ki sista isha, eranam chayte, eranam kein nechnasa beruach shtus. Everyone, all of us, everybody who sins has a ruach shtus. Yad chaloimes is going to see to it that Adam Rishon should get killed and he's going to marry Chava. Achshav, what was the punishment? Ebashis ben cha ben hoisha ben zaracha ben zara. There's not going to be any friendship at all. They're going to be human beings hate snakes. They try to kill other. Who wants to have a shaychus with snakes? So the Gemara continues with the Agarata, and the same is true regarding many other biblical characters, that they wanted something that they had no right for, and then they never got it, and then even what they had they lost. V'chein b'kayin. Kayin, according to the Medrash, Rashi quotes the Medrash, the second line from the top in Rashi. Nosen eno b'to'oime yisera. It says that Chava gave birth to Es Kayin v'Es Hevel. So Es is always a ribuy, something additional. So Es Kayin means that Kayin had a twin sister, but Es Hevel, he had a twin sister also. So the Medrash says, what was the original fight between Kayin and Hevel? What were they fighting about? That Hevel had two twin sisters. So they were fighting who's going to have the extra wife. They both wanted to have two wives, not enough to have one wife. They both wanted to have the extra wife. So Hevel said, it's my twin. Olam chesed yibonet. It says in the Chumash, one who marries his sister, chesed hu. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Kayin and Hevel marry anybody? Obviously they married their sisters. So that was a het. Olam chesed yibonet. The Baruch Shalom, in order to build mankind, had to permit them to marry their sisters.
Taka, so, why do you create the triplet with Hevel, not with Kayin?
I don't know. So that's what the Medrash, Rashi is filling in with the Medrash, that Kayin wanted the extra sister. He wasn't really entitled to it, so he didn't get it, and then he lost his whole life. He was punished. He was chased out of Gan Eden. Yeah. All of them desired something, coveted, malchus, money, whatever. Each one had a desire for something he wasn't entitled to, and they never got it. And then what they had, they lost their position. That everyone has sins. It's always like that. We have a desire to sin, and then we always lose out. So if we would have sechel, we would never sin. Uziyo, Haman, what happened? All these biblical characters, Shanasa, and then Meshen, Roilahem. So what should happen? The end of the story was Mashabikshula Nitam, they never got what they wanted. Mashabi Adam Natlu Mehem. So that's the Musa Haskel that we should learn from the Soito. That she desired to be with another man, which was not permissible, Sloisinov. Not only did she not succeed in getting to marry the other man, she lost her husband as well.
But don't we have the Rosh Hashanah? We have that.
Yes, yeah. We do, for sure we do. I mean, it's not always the case. The Russia who desires to get something very often does succeed in getting it. But the end of the story will be that he's going to lose that. That's what the Gemara says. The end will be that all of the Rishonim lose that. Crime doesn't pay. Ultimately, the criminal gets caught. He always thinks he's going to get away with everything. He's going to be outsmarting everybody, and it doesn't happen. Yeah. Then the Mishnah says the punishment comes in the same direction that she sinned. That was the Mishnah on Chesam and Beis. The Mishnah said, the second half of the Mishnah, Bierach eschila ba'avera tchila, v'achakach ha-beten. So the Gemara explained why. Bierach, first, when they were together in bed sinning, so first they were rubbing legs against each other. And then he was mezana with the Eshes Ish, he was on top of her beten, on top of her belly. V'ichach, therefore, when she's going to be punished, so the Pasuk says, Hayerach tilke hayerach tchila, the yerach, the thigh, will suffer first, and the whole body will also suffer. So the Gemara effect akasha, but that's not the way it goes. Let's see the Gemara. Effect the Gemara bi'erech eschila ba'avera. So therefore, when she's punished, she'll suffer with the erech first. How do you know that the punishment will be first the yerech will get sick, and then the belly will get sick? Ilema. Is there a source in Chumash for that the yerech is going to suffer first? The Mishnah said everything is midah keneged midah. So since when she sinned, the Erech got Hanoah from the Tashmish first, and then the Beten, so that's how the Onish is going to come. The Gemara says, where does it say that? That's the way the Onish happened. If he should say, first it says the Erech, then it says the Beten, but there's another Pasuk where it says Faker. The other Pasuk says, V'tzovsa Bitna. It says, Faket. First the Beten will get bloated up, and then the Erech will collapse. And for the Gemara, you're right. Amar Abai Ki Layit, when the Kohen gives her the curse, and he said, this is what's going to happen to you. So first he curses her that if she sinned, if she's guilty of the Avera, of Lysinov, what's going to happen is, Ki Layit, Layit Chila Yerech. First he curses her that she should suffer from the Erech, Lord Abetan Layit. However, but lemaisa, when she drinks the maim amarim, the water goes from her mouth, goes down her food pipe, and it goes into the stomach. So first it goes in order. So first the stomach is going to get sick, and then it goes to the rest of the body. Then the yerech is going to happen. Maya and the water ki batki ki rochayu batki. The water is going to be bodyka, means it's going to cause it to get sick if she sinned in the order that it goes in the body. First, betem bereisha v'hara yerech.
Well, how's the water
going to
get to the yerech?
I guess it goes from the... How does any of the nutrients go to the rest of the body? I guess it goes into the stomach, then it's broken down, and then it's sent in the bloodstream, I guess. So the water is what's going to cause the sickness, so the water will also go in the bloodstream. I guess so. You're telling me that what? When the Kohen curses her... So first he curses her, first he curses her in the Yerech, and then he curses her with the betin. But lemaisa, when she gets sick, so first the betin gets sick, and then afterwards the yerech goes in the order of drinking, of eating food. How come there it says the kohen is going to tell her the punishment she's going to get? So he tells her in advance. First, sounds like he tells her first about the betin, and then about the yerech. First he curses her on the yerech, then on the bet midah keneged midah, because when she sinned with the Eishes Eishes Insos, the first she had Anor from the Yerech. And then, but Lamaisa, what's going to happen is going to be the reverse. First is going to be, she's going to get sick in the stomach, and then in the Yerech. And the Kohen tells her in advance this fact, that the Mayim will be Boidik, not in the order that I told you, because otherwise there'll be Boitzi Laz on the Mayim Amorim. The Kohen said it's going to happen in the other direction. It didn't happen the way he said it. So the Kohen tells her everything from advance. He curses the Yerech first, then he curses the Bet, and he said, but by the way, that's not the way the Oynish is going to happen. The Oynish is going to happen the other way. That's what the word says. Who? That pasuk means the Modala Kohen, the Kohen notifies her, the Betin is going to happen Bereisha v'hada Yerech. Shalom hotzi laz amay mamar. That she shouldn't say, you see, the whole thing is a fake. Well, he's going to say the whole thing is a fake. It's not poisonous water. It just doesn't taste so good. It's bitter tasting. And she's going to get sick, she's going to die, and her eyes are going to start bulging, and her fingernails are going to fall off. The Maim Amarim is working over here. The whole thing is a miracle. But still, the Gemara said, if the Kohen doesn't tell him in advance, so then they're going to say, she'll be Moitzilah, she'll say, maybe something else happened. Maybe it wasn't due to the fact that she's sick. So the Kohen has to tell her everything step by step in advance, what's going to be. Yeah, even though she's mom is dying. That's what the Mefarshim point out. Moshe Rabbeinu, after Esa Makas, after all Esa Makas, so he says, Kachatzois HaLaila, approximately midnight. So the Gemara says in Brachos, what do you say approximately? The Rabbanu Shalom said, why did he say Kachatzois approximately? So he was afraid that the Yitzhak Ninim of Paro may make a mistake, and they'll think, after all Esa Makas, they'll say, you see, what Moshe Rabbeinu predicted didn't come through. The Makas Bukharis happened a minute before Chatzos, a minute after Chatzos. What do you mean? So they're going to make fun of Moshe Rabbeinu, he's a faker, he's a liar. What do you mean a faker? All the Esa Makas are, and the Bukharim are dying. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want that they should say that he's a faker. So he said, approximately Chatzos. Yeah. Then the Mishnah continues. Also, Mida Kenegan Mida. So the Gemara, we already did the Mishnah, the Gemara comments. Tana Rabbana. Shimshon be'ein of marat. Shimshon sinned with his eyes. The pasuk says, "Shenemar." Vayomer Shimshon al aviv. Shimshon was a single boy, so he stayed by his parents. So he saw a non-Jewish girl. So he said, "Dad, I'd like to marry that girl." Osa kachli, try to negotiate. I should marry that girl. Ki yishar de'ena. I fell in love with that girl. So he fell in love with the girl because of the way she looked. He was looking at her. So because he sinned with his eyes, so the punishment was his punishment was that they blinded him, that they took out his eyes. The eyes were what caused him to sin in the first place with the non-Jewish girls, one after the other. So that's why his punishment was with the eyes. By they blinded him, they poked out his eyes. What do you mean? It was a punishment because he did something wrong. But the pasuk says that his bechira chavshis was suspended, and in Hashemayim they caused him to fall in love with the shiksa girl. in order to save the whole Jewish people. He was one of the Shoftim, and because he knocked down the whole temple and he killed so many Plishtim over there. His parents didn't realize Kimi Hashem Hu. It was Min Hashemayim, means that his Pchir Chavshis was suspended. So what do you mean? He was punished media connected. He didn't do any sin at all. Min Hashemayim, they caused him to do that. And for the Gemara, that's not true. Ki Ozal Mia, Basa Yashua Se Yozal. No. What it means, Al Pi Pashtis, is the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva is bothered with this Kasha. The Rabban Shalom punished the Mitzrayim for the Averis. Gamas HaGoya She'evoy D'don Anoichi. Rabban Shalom says in advance, by the Bris of Mamzah, is going to punish the nation, the Mitzrayim, for torturing the Jewish people and Shibud Mitzrayim. But the Rabban Shalom said, Geriyaz HaRachba V'avod Avinois, and the Rabban Shalom made Gzeira. So they had no Bchir HaChavshis. They had to do what the Rabban Shalom said. So the Rambam asked that Kasha. So the Mefarshim answer, I don't have Bechira Chavshis to take a gun and shoot you. You don't deserve to lose your life. I don't have Bechira Chavshis to steal your money. I don't have... Everyone's Bechira Chavshis is restricted a little bit, limited, because I have no right to cause anyone else. Agmas Nefesh, Hepsid, Mammon, whatever, Tsar. If in Hashemayim there's a Gzeret that this person deserves to suffer or to die or to be punished or whatever, so then they give everybody Bechira Chavshis. A normal person, a tzaddik, is not going to choose to do the dirty work. Why should he choose with his Bechir HaChavshis to go kill someone? A man who is a Rasha, who has evil desires, and the Rebbeinu Shlom all along is mitzamtzim his Bechir HaChavshis, he restricts all about Bechir HaChavshis. We should never be able to have a Havamina to harm anybody else who doesn't deserve to be harmed. So if there is a person who does deserve to be harmed, so the Rebbeinu Shlom opens up the Bechir HaChavshis, Kol HaKaidim Zocha, whoever wants to cause him tzar can do it. And then an Adam Rasha goes and he does this. That's what the Gemara says over here. He had a desire. Ki Ozal, when Shimshon went Mia, Vasa Yashu Isosa, he decided on his own. He fell in love with the Shiksa girl, and this was his punishment. He deserved the punishment. It doesn't mean that Rabbeinu Shalom suspended his Bechira Chavshis and caused him to marry the Shiksa girl in order to bring a Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. Rabbeinu Shalom opened up his Bechira Chavshis. Under normal circumstances, the Baruch Shalom wouldn't even have allowed him to have a Bechir HaChavshis to do such a crazy thing. The Baruch Shalom opened it up, and then he chose to do that. So the Gemara says that he deserved the punishment. Tanya. Yehuda and Tamar? Yehuda and Tamar is a problem with Yehuda and Tamar. What does it mean? There's a Medrash that says that there are. Sounds like from the Medrash it says that the Rabbanu Shalom suspended Yehuda's Bechira Chavshis and caused him to sin with Tamar to think that she's a prostitute in order to bring out the Melech HaMashiach. So it means his mamish, literally, his Bechira Chavshis was suspended. He didn't deserve any punishment at all for what he did. It's unclear exactly what that parsha means. Yeah.
What about Hayom David Al-Kah? He said Tamar was afraid the person can't do anything to him that was not mitzvah in Yishmael before.
Yeah.
So he was afraid
that
the person could use his Bechir HaChavshis to harm somebody, even though.
That's a question. The Arachai Machumish writes like that. When the brothers threw Yosef, so where's the Seichel? What did they throw Yosef? They didn't want to kill him. Lo nageh nefesh, we're not going to kill him. We're going to throw him into the bar. He's going to be eaten up by the nechashim akravim. So what's the difference? So the poshut, the answer is they didn't. It was such a deep bar they didn't realize that they were nechashim akravim. They didn't see it. And that's next to the other member that in Ner Chanukah, if you light lemali mes mami and not yes, it goes al shalta be'ena. So that's what he means over here. The bar was so deep, it was more than esra mami deep. So that's why they couldn't see. That's what some say. And others say no. That the Arachai Machumish says no. They knew that they were Nechashim HaKravim, but they decided if he's a tzaddik, so the Rabbanu Shalom not allowed the Nechashim HaKravim to harm him. But a human being has Bechira Chavshis, he can even harm other people. So that's questionable. Others dispute that assumption of the Arachai. Others assume that it cannot be. That the Rabbanu Shalom would suspend everyone Bechira Chavshis, wouldn't allow anyone to have the ability to harm someone that doesn't deserve to be harmed, either bodily or monetarily, to cause agus nefesh. That's a shaila. The human beings have the bechira chavshes to harm someone that doesn't deserve to be harmed. Because we have the pasuk, it says you have to make a maka, a fence on the roof, if you have a roof that people use. If you have a roof that, my roof or my building, no one ever goes on the roof unless there's a leak, so they get a roofer to go fix the roof, but the roof is never used, so there's no mitzvah maka there. The Torah only requires a maka if the roof is used. People sit and they sunbathe over there, they play tennis on the roof, or whatever they do, sit in the sukkah on the roof. So there's a mitzvah maka, and it says you should put a maka. Why? Lest kiipal hanoifel memeno, lest someone should fall down and get killed. So it shouldn't be your fault, you shouldn't be responsible. So there's a comment in the Talmud Yerushalmi on that. What does it say? Kiipal hanoifel memeno? He didn't fall down yet. She said kiipal ish memeno, kiipal odam memeno. What does it say? Kiipal hanoifel? So the Talmud Yerushalmi says, if not for the fact that it was nigzer min hashamayim, that he deserves to die, it would never have happened. Even though I'm negligent and I didn't put a makeh, and you don't put a makeh, las hasm damim beveisecho, it's dangerous, someone may fall off the roof, that would never happen, the Rabban Shalom would never allow such a thing to happen, unless the fellow is a noifan, unless he's already a gavrek tila bedina shamayim, it was nigza that he deserved to die, so then it may happen that due to my negligence, he may fall off the roof because there's no makeh. But if it wouldn't be nigza min hashamayim, it would never have happened. So that's a shaila. That's a shaila. How far do you go? Yeah.
Well, why am I responsible for it? If I shared that he was going to die, I'm being punished.
Two people are being punished. The Gagalam Skosai Dezakai. The Gemara says to do the dirty work, the Ribbono Shel Olam allows everyone to have Bechira Chavshes, but the one who chooses to cause the harm shows out of his own. So he's going to go down in history as the one who is responsible for the suffering. We assume. It's difficult. We assume that it cannot be that Hitler had a Bechira Chavshes on his own to kill so many millions of people. And Stalin had a Bechira Chavshes. Stalin has said killed more people than Hitler.
That was Eichmann's defense.
Yeah. So how can it be that min hashamayim they allow a person to have Bechira Chavshes to kill so many people? So the Pasuk says towards the end of Mishlei, Pal gei mayim le melech b'yad Hashem kol ashe yachpetz yatenu. In the simple translation of the pasuk, his palgemai means a trickle of water. Lev melech b'yad Hashem, the heart of the king, Hitler, Stalin, heads of state, presidents of states who make major decisions, any decision that they make can crush millions of people. They can destroy many, many people. So we assume the heart of the king is making such decisions that affect other people. Is B'yad Hashem like Palgemaim? It's not like a big heavy river that you have to build a whole dam in order to divert the flow of the river. It's like a trickle of water. You just put your hand there and shine, and the water goes the other direction. So to the heart of the king is like Palgemaim le melech B'yad Hashem. What does it mean? Kol ashe yachpetz yatenu. Simple, easy, shmeezy. B'yad Hashem just drays a little bit, and he twists the heart of the king. So there's a long comment on the Ralbag and that pasuk. In the end, there's a commentary of the Ralbag on all of Mishlei. So on that pasuk, he has a long essay, longer than usual. And he explains that it cannot be the Ribbono Shel Olam should allow the head of a state to make such decisions that affect other people, cause other people to suffer. It must be that the Ribbono Shel Olam controls the hearts of the kings. So it's hard to believe. We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Hitler to do all the rishis that he did. How can the Ribbono Shel Olam allow such a thing? That's terrible. Evil. Yeah, Hester upon him. So we don't know what that means. Okay, that's Hester upon him. We don't understand. We believe that this must have been min hashamayim. Cannot be that the Ribbono Shel Olam would allow human beings. So the Orach Chaim HaChomish says not so. He thinks that human beings do have the ability to cause pain and suffering and killing to other people, even though the other people never even deserved it. And it's usually assumed not like that, Orach Chaim. So this is the Gemara. The Gemara said the pasuk says kimei Hashem hu. It was min hashamayim, but then the Chazal say that he was punished mida keneged mida. So what do you mean it was min hashamayim? So the Gemara says it doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended his bechira chavshes and caused him to fall in love with the shiksas, all of these plishti girls. Ribbono Shel Olam allowed him to. He didn't suspend him. He allowed him to, and then achashiras libo he went. Kachli, what did he say? Osa kachli, kihi yishobi ena, he fell in love with the shiksa. Well, Then the Gemara has a comment. Raisa says, Tanya Rabbi Metchilas Kilkulai Ba'aza. The first time he sinned with a Nachris, that Shimshon lived with, he was Mazana with a Nachris, was in the city Aza. Lefichach Loka Ba'aza. That's why the whole downfall of Shimshon was in that city. Oh, the Gemara said, backs it up from Sukkim. Tchilas Kilkula Ba'aza. Where do you see in Tanakh that the first time he lived with a Nachris was in Aza? He went to the city Aza. He saw a prostitute and he slept with her. That's why he was punished, as it says. That was his downfall. That's when they locked him up and they poked at his eyes and they blinded him. What do you mean? But before Aza, before the prostitute in Aza, there was a different shiksa in Timnas. And that was first. That was earlier. And for the Gemara, that wasn't so bad, because Rashi explained, because the first time he married the shiksa. He married the shiksa. The second time his mom is a prostitute, he didn't even marry her. So that's a erga. It's a strange Gemara. The Rambam, yeah, he married her, at least it wasn't prostitution. Yeah. So the Rambam, when he quotes all the dinim of Hilchas Geirus, so the Rambam writes in Hilchas Yisuri Bias, so he says, Ayal Ali Becha, you shouldn't have a Havamina to think that Shimshon HaGibor, who is Mashiach of Israel, and the Psukim and Shoftim praise him, that he did a good job for 20 or 24 years. He was a Shofet of Bnei Yisrael, not just like a Golem that he beat up the Goyim. He was a Shofet. He was giving good aitzes to Bnei Yisrael. The Rambam says, you shouldn't think Layal Ali Becha that he really married a Shiksa. No, he was Megari them in advance. So why does it say he married a Shiksa? So the Rambam explains, because the Geiris was not L'Shem Shamayim. There are two kinds of a ger. There's a ger tzedek and there's a ger. A ger tzedek is one who was religiously motivated. The person studied about the Jewish religion and they decided this is a true religion and then they converted. So then you have the mitzvah, haftamas hager. You have a mitzvah to go out of your way to be makarv the ger if he's a ger tzedek. Then there's another ger. The girl fell in love with a Jewish boy. So she realized you can't marry the Jewish boy. The parents of the boy won't let her marry him. So she looks into the Jewish religion, and b'di'evad, because she fell in love with the boy, so she finds out about the Jewish religion, what the belief is, and she decides, okay, I'll go along with the Jewish faith. They have a historical tradition about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Maimon Har Sinai, Avraham Yitzchak Yankim. She goes and she keeps all the mitzvahs. Shabbos Kashrut Taras HaMishpacha. If the person is not mekabel on mitzvahs, so the whole geiris is a fraud. That's not a ger. We're talking the person was megayer with kabbalos on mitzvahs, but it wasn't l'shem shamayim. It was with an ulterior motive, because the ger wanted to get ahead in the Israeli army. The ger wanted to get ahead in industry in Eretz Yisrael. If you're an Arab, you can't get, years ago, if you're an Arab now, you can get to be the Rosh HaMemshalah. But years ago, an Arab couldn't get ahead in Eretz Yisrael. So let's say, so there are two kinds of gerim. There are three kinds of the ger, shaloi kalocha, ger who never accepted Kabbalah Samitzvah. So that's a fraud, that's not a geris. But there are two types of ger. So that's what the Rambam says. If a non-Jew converts and the Bezdin who accepted him is the Bezdin Shel Hadyotos, means the questionable Bezdin that's not so picky, the Bezdin is not so picky that they should only accept a ger who is religiously motivated to convert. So this is a machlokes in the Gemara. If a person is geri arayus, whether the geris is valid or not. So the Gemara has a machlokes in the end of the second parak in Yevamos, and Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis. So the majority opinion in the days of the time was that a geris is only valid if the geris is religiously motivated. If he had an ulterior motive, the geris is not valid. Let's say geri arayus. What did pick arayus means lions. If lions are attacking, because there was a story about the kusim who were transported from Kusa into Eretz Yisrael, they were being attacked by lions. It's abnormal. There are no lions normally. There are no lions in that region. No lions in Eretz Yisrael. So they'd be attacked by the lions. So it says in Tanakh, they were wondering, what's going on over here? Where did the lions come from? It must be that the God of the Jewish people is the Balabas in Eretz Yisrael. So we better convert in order that the God of Eretz Yisrael won't punish us anymore. So they never planned, not only were they not religiously motivated to convert, they never planned to keep any mitzvahs either. The Pasuk testifies about them. They continued to worship Avodah Zarah. So that Geiris was nothing. That was meaningless. That Geiri Arayis, they were going Gemurim. The Geiris was never valid because there was never any Kabbalah on mitzvah.
until that mayor came along and found that they were still doing it by deserve.
No. Then, we're missing a little bit of the story. So originally, this is how Tosis explains. Originally, the Kusim Geris was meaningless because there was no Kabbalah on mitzvahs. It says Elohim Hoyu Avdim. Then in the days of the Tanoim, these Kusim always stayed aside. They didn't intermingle with the rest of the Jews, and they only intermarried among themselves. So then by the time the Tanoim came along the scene, there was many centuries later, so these Kusim were observing mainly Torah Shabbat Sav and a little bit Torah Shabbat Peh, and a lot of Torah Shabbat Peh they were not observing, and Dinim Derabbanan, and most of them they were not observing. Like the Karaim and later generation, they observed a lot of Torah Shabbat Sav and very little Torah Shabbat Peh, a little bit yeah, a little bit long. So the Tanaim are trying to figure out where did this come from. Their original conversion as described in Tanakh was meaningless. As Aleim Ayu Ovdim, they still worshipped Avodah Zarah. There was no Kabbalah on mitzvahs whatsoever. So where did it come from that in the times of the generation of the Tanaim, so many centuries later, they are observing something. So they had a machloikis in history. What happened? What must have happened? So half of the Tanaim said, Geri Arayis, they're goyim gemurim, their conversion was never good from day number one, and they never redid the conversion. They're all goyim gemurim. And the accepted opinion was not so. It must be that they must be Geri Emes. We assume Shuv his Geiru Balev Sholem. The original conversion that's described in Tanakh was meaningless, because there was no Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah, they're still worshipping Avodah Zarah. And the majority opinion of Tkufas HaTanaim was that they're guessing historically. They're writing history or rewriting history. Not rewriting, they don't know. So they think what must have happened was they probably converted a second time, and that Geirus was Taka Geirus, but because they lived among themselves and they didn't intermingle with the Jews, so that's why they were not familiar with all of Torah Shabbat Peh, so they didn't observe everything. But they're Jewish people. Till the days of Reb Meir, that was the Psak HaMekubal, was that the Kusim Shuv Nizgar B'Lev Sholem, there was a second conversion, and that there were Geri Emes. The original conversion was Geri Arayis, means no Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah. The second conversion was Geri Emes. And then, in the days of Reb Meir, he sent the students, and they investigated, and they came to the realization that there was a sect among the Kusim who were worshipping Avodah Zarah on top of Hagrizim. So Reb Meir was Geiser on all of the Kusim that they have a din like a Goy. But he was Geiser because until he made the Gzera, they were Jewish, because the accepted view was that they were Geri Emes, the Shuv Nizgar B'Lev Sholem. So that's one usage of the term Geri Arayis. Geri Arayis in the sense they converted because of the lions, and there never was a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah in the Goyim Gemurim. Then the Gemara, and that's in the Gemara in many places, uses that term. The Kusim of Geri Arayis, the conversion was not valid at all. Then the Gemara has this machlokes from Nechemia Nachachomim in the end of the second parak in Yevamos, Chavdal and Beis. What if a guy converts because of the lions? He doesn't mean the story in Tanakh. The story in Tanakh, there was no Geiris at all because there was no Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah. What if a guy is being attacked by lions and he's petrified and he decides, hey, I better become Jewish? And he reads up about Judaism and he accepts the whole historical story about Esamakas, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Amin HaSinai. What motivated him in the first place, he was not religiously motivated to convert. He wants to marry this Jewish person, or he wants to get ahead, or he's afraid of the lions. Any other ulterior motive other than L'shem Shamayim. So that's called Geri Arayis. The motivation to convert came mibachutz, not religiously. That's a machlekes HaTanaim. So the majority opinion, at one time the Chachamim were of the opinion that Geris is not valid. So we don't pass like that. Gemara says Halacha, we pass like Rem Nechemia. Kulam Gerim Gemurim Heim. That a non-Jew who converted for an ulterior motive, for some other motive other than religiously, the Geris is valid. So the Rambam says, yeah, it's valid, but he's not a Ger Tzedek. A Ger Tzedek is a mitzvah to go out of a Ver, Haftamas HaGer. That's only if the person was religiously motivated, L'shem Shamayim, to convert. But if he converted L'shum Ishus, or L'shum some Dover Acher, so then he's a Ger, he's Jewish, but Dos Heistnishkin Geri Emes. So that's what that's not called a Ger Tzedek. That's not called a Ger Tzedek. So that's what the Rambam says. Ayala libecho, you shouldn't think that Shimshon Agibah Moshiach Shal Yisrael married mamish non-Jewish women. No, the Tanakh says he married non-Jewish women. No, he means that they were Megayer, but they're Megayer Shalo Lishmo. And they were accepted by a Bezen Shal Hadyotis. Bezen Shal Hadyotis, lechatchila, it's not proper to accept such a Ger who is not religiously motivated. L'chatchila, it's not proper. That was assumed for many generations. L'chatchila, it's not proper. In recent years, Reb Chaim Oizer wrote a tshuva in 1930s where he quotes earlier poskim, 30, 40 years before his time. After the Reform movement, so what are you going to say? We're going to say to such a person, we're not going to accept you. So what will be accomplished? A non-Jewish person comes to convert because they fell in love with a Jewish person. So the rabbis will say, we're not going to accept you. So don't accept. I'll go to the conservative rabbi. He'll accept me. So he's going to. So they're going to continue to live with each other. He's going to be a goy gomer. They're going to live together. So that's what the poskim in the last 150 years say. That bizman hazeh, we are mekabel such ger. Even though it's not a ger tzedek, we are mekabel such ger. So the Rambam says, and what's the status of such a ger who was nizgaya by bezin shel hadyotos? So the Rambam says you have to see over the course of years how do things turn out. If it turns out good, so it's good. And if it doesn't turn out good, it's nisht. What do you mean? Turns out good is good. What do you mean it's good? So he's Jewish. If it doesn't, he's not Jewish. It's very unclear. What do you mean? So the Achrayim say pshat and the Rambam, that's how the Minkache writes in the Sefer Minchas Aluza. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said, the same pshat. Rare that Rav Soloveitchik said the same as the Minkache. So he says pshat and the Rambam means if it turns out that this ger who was not religiously motivated later on, the person davens and he comes to shul on time and he fasts on Yom Kippur and Hashem HaShabbos and Kashrus. He becomes very involved. So then we say he has the status of a ger tzedek and then is a mitzvah of a haftim asager. And if mechateisa, they're Jewish, they keep the mitzvahs bekoshi. They're always looking for the coolest and they're always looking the easy way out. You don't see that they became religiously motivated over the years. So then the Rambam says, okay. What do you mean, okay? I mean, he'll be a ger. He won't be a ger tzedek. He'll be a ger. The Rambam didn't mean to say if he doesn't turn out later to be religiously motivated and growing in their observance that he's a goy gomer. No, they were mekabel all mitzvahs b'shas ma'isa. If they don't get all inspired and all enthused about the Jewish religion, might say he's a ger, but in this can ger tzedek. So that's how the Rambam comments over here. Probably has midrashim. I'm not familiar. The Rambam says Ayal Alipchi shouldn't think that Shimshon HaGibbe really married non-Jewish women. It says in Tanakh, he married Nachriyos. It means they weren't Geirei Tzedek. They converted in order to marry him. There was a Kabbalah on mitzvahs, but it wasn't L'shem Shamayim. So the Pasuk considers it as if he had married Nachriyos.
Why did he say he learned Milsim or Mafreya? You see them not doing anything proper now? So I mean, maybe when they were...
We do say that. That's what the recent Paskim talk about that. The Gemara says if you have a ger who converted, and then years later, down the line, the ger is chazal asuro. He decides to go back to his original religion, and he gives up the whole Judaism and God, so he goes back. So the Gemara says he's still Jewish, he's dino ki Yisrael mumer. Minaf kimina, he doesn't come to shul anyway, he's not going to get an aliyah. He converted back to Catholicism. So Gemara, naf kimina, kiddushim, kiddushim. If this ger who converted back to Catholicism is Mekadosh and Isha, so we say he is Jewish because the Geris was Chal B'Shaitai, and later on he's a Yisrael Mumer. So the recent Paskim say how long down the line, it means 10 years later. What if it's a month later? What if it's a half a year later?
A day later.
So a day later, the Mamish does nothing, so there's no Shmiras HaMitzvahs at all. So the Gemara has a cloud that's in very different places. The Gemara talks about what the person does later can shed light on what his intention was yesterday. The Gemara has the case, a man gives a get.
It would be by Orpah, maybe, 10 years later, Lamafreya, she said she doesn't
want. I don't know. That's a question by Orpah and Ruth. Were they Megayir or not? Some claim that they were Megayra originally. How can it be that Machlan Akili married non-Jewish girls? The Gemara says that the Geiris was on the way back to Eretz Yisrael. The Rus Dovka Bar Rus converted then. Sounds like they never converted originally.
There's no Yibum at all?
Yeah. So the Yibum story, we don't fully understand. Manavshach, what's going on? If they were converted already from before, and that's why you're talking about Yibum, Halahem Te'ageinu, and so on. So then what do you mean? You learn out all the Dinim of Geiris from... What did she convert a second time for? Elamai, she hadn't converted from before, so what are you talking about Yibum? It was very unclear what was going on over there. So the Ragachava tries to farem for there's a hefer geris, it is chal, it's not chal, it's a shmeret teretz. He was a nilui, he was a super genius, but his shat hinktunta is very schwach over here. Yeah.
It's not encouraging gerus
will not bring happiness to the Jewish people. Right. Right. That's why several Sephardic communities have takonis that they don't accept any gerim at all. So many rabbanim said they have no right to do that. It's against the law. After masager, you have to go out of your way. It's a mitzvah to be mekabel. Gemara says it's a mitzvah to be mekabel ger. If you mekabel a ger who comes l'shem shemaim, it's a mitzvah. So they say, leave me alone with the mitzvahs. It's going to destroy the whole community. They don't care at the time. Yep, yeah. The proper thing is, a bezin should not be makabel gerim if they're not religiously motivated. And the recent, the last 150 years or so, Rav Chaim Moser writes, they were makel, because the alternative is they'll just go through some fake conversion and not be under the influence of Orthodox rabbis. They go to a Reform rabbi, conservative rabbi, and then they'll be living, he'll be living with an
Nochris. Child, you know, this and so forth. He's not religiously motivated. When he becomes 13, has the right to negate the whole thing, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And if he does accept it, do you think that's really? I mean, he's not really did it by himself. He was raised that way. That's
okay.
Motivation.
No, a katan, the Gemara says in Ksubas, that a katan, ger katan, mabil mosa das bezin. We assume zochen the adam shlevifana. We assume that it's the best interest of a child to be brought up as an observant Jew, as opposed to being brought up as a non-Jew. If a person is already an adult and a nochri and used to a different style of living, they eat chazer and they run around with whichever women they want, and they have a free life, then we don't assume that it's in the best interest to become Jewish. He's already used to a different style of living. But if it's an infant, a young child, ger katan, so then we assume it's in the best interest of the child. So we can convert the child, you do a mili, you do a tefillah in the mikveh, and we assume that it's a geirus. But whenever you do any act of zochen le'adam shelo b'fanav, let's say someone is not here. Mr. Cooperman is not here, so I want to give him a matana. So he's not here, so I give you the matana, you pick it up, you're kind on behalf of Mr. Cooperman. So zochen le'adam shelo b'fanav, he owns the matana. Then when he finds out about it, his initial reaction is, I don't want the matana. Don't do me any favor. I don't want to be makatoivet to that person. I don't like him. I don't want. So the Gemara says, if the instinctive initial reaction when he finds out that they did an act of zechiah and his BF is that he says he doesn't want it, so he breaks up the whole zochen liyod. He don't apply zochen liyod. So the same over here. By the ger katan, we are megayer the infant on the assumption that it's in the best interest of the child. But then, when he becomes of age, when the boy reaches 13 and the girl reaches 12, and they say, we really don't want it, when that interested in being Jewish, so that's like macho. So then it undoes the whole geirus. But if he's not moiche, so most of the pasuk assume you don't have to undergo a new geirus, you don't have to convene a bezdin and have a kabbalas on mitzvahs. Most of the pasuk hold that was the practice always was, you don't do that. Rabbi Yashiv came up with a new chiddush. He likes the ritvos pshat. The Ritva says when the child reaches 13, you have to convene a bezdin, you have to have a kabbalah on mitzvah. There was never practiced for centuries and centuries. Nobody, a very nice pshat in the Gemara, but the halacha l'maaseh, we don't follow that Ritva. No one has been following that Ritva. It's not really proper. The pasuk says it's not proper to introduce. The Gemara says it's not proper to introduce a chumrah in hilchas gittin that was never observed. What's he going to say? All the other children, amam zerim, who were born for those who gave a get, not like that. So here, the mamish alola hotzi laz alola gerim ktanim, whom we were megayer for so many centuries. Nobody ever followed that ritual. So it's really not proper to introduce chumras.
Wouldn't he feel again, though? After this makabal, when he's 13, would he need
to feel? No, he wouldn't need to. No, Yashu just need a kabbalah on mitzvah. The ritual says you need a kabbalah on mitzvah. But we don't hold like that. We hold, we had the mila and the tefillah, so the geris b'shaita, we assumed that the geris was good. But if the instinctive reaction when the person realizes what's happening is, he says, I don't want it, let's say sometimes they never told the child that he was converted. Sometimes they don't even tell him that he's adopted. But even if they told him he's adopted, never told him he's converted till the age of 55, and then he's in a crisis in his marriage and everything, and then they tell him, by the way, you were converted, he's ready to fall to pieces. So if the first time he finds out that he was converted, he says, oh boy, I don't want the whole thing. Do me a favor, I don't need the whole thing. I have enough headaches without this Jewish religion. So then he can be moved at the age of 55 also. The first time he becomes aware that he was converted, hoter abreira, to turn it down.
What's the time span that Jeffrey would say, like, first was Makabel, and then changed his mind. So how long?
So that's the Shaila. We have a psychological umdana very often. The Gemara has in the end of Gittin, a man gives his wife a get, and he says, I want the get to be chal soon. Then he jumps off the roof. So we understand he gave her a get, so she shouldn't be an almana. So she shouldn't have to have chalitza. He gave her a get because he planned to jump off the roof. So the Gemara has other cases like that where he says, at the time that he did something, we weren't aware of what he has up the sleeve. And later on, he does something which sheds light on what he just did yesterday or last week. It indicates that that's what he always had in mind. And that's the shaila here. That's the modern shaila. How many months have to go by that you should say the ger shechazer l'suro is a ger and he's a yisrael mumen kedushin. If it's tomorrow, the ger is megayer on Friday, and the next day is machal Shabbos, and he eats tarfus. So they never got off the ground. There never was a Kabbalah Samitz. The whole thing was a fraud. But Rabbi Luchstein tells such a story. When his father was still alive, so there was a girl from his shul who was from a very wealthy family, and she married a ger. And in the middle of Shivas Yemei Mishteh, all of the friends of the neighbors were throwing big parties, Shevet Brachas. Middle of Shivas Yemei Mishteh, the husband emptied out all the bank accounts, and he disappeared. Goodbye. They couldn't find him. They couldn't find the husband. So he said his father, he went with his father to Rav Soloveitchik, and he asked him, what do you do? So Rav Soloveitchik asked, did he ever keep any mitzvahs? See, at the Gedavin Mincha and Meir, did he keep Shabbos? Did he bench? Did he say, didn't keep anything. Didn't wash until his Yadayim by the Shevet Brochus, by the Chasen. Didn't keep any mitzvahs at all. Rav Soloveitchik said, didn't keep any mitzvahs. So there was no Kabbalah on mitzvahs. So he said, Goy Gomer, you don't need to get Kabbalah. They lost all the money. The money they didn't retrieve, but at least the girl wasn't married. The geris wasn't chal at all. So that was an easy enough case. He didn't keep any mitzvahs at all. But let's say he kept mitzvahs for a month. So they say a month is enough, and then it's called the ger shechazel asuro. He's Yisrael mumer. Or they say it has to be more than a month. So that's what the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael are grappling with that. So one of the Rabbanim quoted Rav Unterman, who was the former chief rabbi. He said maybe the shir is a month. Perhaps a month. Huchzak. Huchzak, the Gemara has, let's say, they give a person a new name. So how long does he have to go under that name that you should write that name in a ksuva, write that name in a get? Let's say a lot of times you have a girl who's getting married. She never had a Yiddish name. The girl was a balas tshuva. She comes by the name Janet or whatever. A goyish name. And she wants to have a Jewish name. So a week before the wedding, they decide they're going to call her whatever. So that's enough. People call, how many people call her? Everybody calls her Janet. So the rabbi calls her a chavala or whatever. So that's enough because someone calls by the name for a week. So we say huchzak is a month. Or the Gemara has huchzak. A couple comes to town and they're acting like a husband and a wife. We don't know that they got married. And then someone is mezana with the eshes ish. So you give them the death penalty. How do you know that she's an eshes ish? Maybe it's not true. Maybe they're just making believe. So the Gemara says if they were making believe, if it looks for a month that they're living kederach ish v'yishtoi, well, let's say a mother and a son. They come to town, a mother and a son, and then the son is mezana with the mother. So we give him the death penalty. If they're huchzak for a month, they were living like that, like a mother and a child, a father and a daughter for a month, then we assume that that is the case. So it's not the same at all. It's a totally different issue. All the three cases are different. By the name is one thing, and here it's a question, is it true, is it not true? Is it true that they're married? Is it true that it's a mother and a son? And here it's a different thing. Is he changing his mind?
Why not Muchsin to Kohen? Does he have 30 days? Or he's right away, he's believed. Isn't he believed right away? Someone comes in, he says he's a Kohen.
Min HaTorah, a person comes and says, I am a Kohen, he's believed. We believe him. Midirabbanon, the Gemara says in the second paragraph of Midirabbanon, they said, you don't believe him because maybe he's telling a lie. Chumr Midirabbanon, not to believe him. So Hechad the Epsher, whenever it's we always insist midrabbanan on getting testimony from some outsider to say who he is. What happens if it's Epsher? He says they killed out all the people from my village, and Nazis killed everybody. I'm the only survivor. So how is he going to get anybody to testify? So then the Gemara says hechad Epsher, then hakor al deyatzmai is sufficient. They prove it from the Mishnah. Let's say the Gemara has a din. Let's say a couple want to get divorced, so they come to the rabbi. And the rabbi says, okay, they write a get and they give the get. How do you know that this is the husband? Maybe this is the boyfriend. Maybe this is the boyfriend. And he comes and he says, my name is, and he says the husband's name. And then they write a get, and then the rabbi writes a p'tur. Pliny divorced his wife. And then they go to a different rabbi, and the wife proves here's a p'tur, and she goes, she marries this guy. This was her boyfriend, this is not the first husband. So the Gemara seems to imply, the Tzarsachashim says, Menatoira, the man comes and he says, my name is so-and-so, I'm the husband, and she's the wife, Menatoira, he's Baglot. It's Midirabonon that we require Hakorim and Piacherim, someone else has to testify. But if it's a big Shas HaTchak, you can write the get even though you don't know who it is, because the Mishnah quotes a case. Mishnah and Gittin has a case. The Romans would throw Jews, prisoners, into a dungeon, and the guy's in a dungeon, he knows he's going to, right away, he's going to die there. So he doesn't want his wife to be an aguna, he doesn't want his wife to need the chalitza. So he screams out, whoever can hear me, is often Yiddish, so only the Yidden will do. Zoktan Yiddish, my name is Yankel, and my father's name is Shmerel, and I live in such a village, my wife's name is so-and-so. Tutmer Atoyva, write a get and give it to my wife. So how do they know that he's telling the truth? Maybe someone else. Why should a guy in the dungeon make up the story? He feels bad for the other guy's wife. Whatever. Maybe he feels bad for the other guy's wife. So the Mishnah says, Kosvinos, Nachol Pishem Akirin. Aye, what happened to the Dinder Abon and you need Hakorah? So that means, Min Atoyva, it's good without Hakorah and Piacherim. And it's only a chumra midrabban and a hecha de yepsher, so it's mutta.
Because they always feel that he can be disproved. All these type of, in other words, he says someone died. You believe him also because he won't do it because it's possible.
Milsa David Legluye, Lai Meshakri
and
Shah. He wouldn't about get caught red handed and all.
The husband will show up. It will prove the whole thing was a fabrication.
Right. The riff sounds like he says like that. That a person is bagloip to say who he is, Menatera. Because it's a milsad abidin leglulay mishakrin. But if the guy's in the bar, you can't say it like that. If the guy's in the bar, you can't say it like that. So right. We assume minatar is begli. Same thing by chalitza. The Gemara says before you perform a chalitza, how do you know that this is the brother of the nifter? We know the almana. The nebuch almana needs chalitza. How do you know that this is the brother lives in a different medina? So a guy flies in from out of town and says, "Hello, I'm the brother." Let's say the almana never met her husband's brother. She doesn't know the brother-in-law. The guy comes from out of town and says, I'm the Yovel. And he's going to do the chalitza. Maybe he's a nice guy, good Samaritan. He wants to do a teva. Maybe he's a liar. Maybe he's not the brother-in-law. So we assume, the Gemara says, you need, when you write the shtar chalitza, the Bezna writes, ishtemoy de'inu. We have ascertained that this is the brother of the nifta. How do you ascertain? So the Gemara says, you have to have someone else testifying him. But sometimes it's a big shas hatchak, and we have no way. He flew in from South Africa. Who else are you going to get from South Africa? So if it's a hechad yepsher, so then you rely on hakorim and piatim. You revert back to the din deraisa. So by the kohanim, it says in Yeridei like that in Hilchas Hafrosh Eschala. Mikra din deraisa, a man comes and says, "I'm a kohen." Is a bagloip to say he's a kohen? Eirechad is nemen bisurim. And it's midirabbanan that we insist on having hakorim piacherim, just like by the get and by the chalitza, you need hakorim piacherim. But let's say he says the whole village was wiped out by the Nazis, I'm the only survivor. So then you revert back to the din derais and you believe him that he says that he's a kohen. So the Shach quotes the Maharil that we have a practice today that the kohanim never eat challah. The challah is matnas kuna. So tell a kohen you should go to mikveh. Balkeri is not allowed to eat challah schutz lord. Tommy Mace is allowed to eat chalas chutz lor, so Balkeri is not allowed. So he'll again to the mikveh, and he'll be allowed to eat the chalas chutz lor. So why is the common practice we never allow Kohanim to eat chalas chutz lor? So the Shach quotes the Maharil, because there were always pogroms, and inevitably what happened was that you had to revert back to the din deraisa, that the man says, I'm the sole survivor, and you only know based on him that he is a kohen. So minatara, that's good, but midirabbanan, we shouldn't have relied on that, but we have no brera. So since we're really in violation of this din, the rabbanon, so we avoid having the kohanim eat the challah. Even though strictly speaking it should be bagloipt, we don't want to get involved.
Don't we rely on that on their face of Shehovah Shabbos?
In rare cases? Yeah, in rare cases we would. If he really gets stuck, we would. Because Mikra din, he's bagloipt to say that he is a kohen.
There are certain places where they have a cup Kabbalah for like 1,000 years vis-a-vis Kohuna.
Meaning they never had any pogroms?
Zerba.
Could be that they never had any pogroms.
Yeah.
The
Neon, is there an Atta provision there for a girl who's given Neon? What's the time limit there? Why don't we apply the same thing to a ger?
No, by miyun means the father has the ability to marry off his daughter Menatora.
Right.
And she's before bas mitzvah.
And then he dies. And then
so if the father died and the brother or the mother married her off,
right, so she has a provision.
So she's married, let's say, for 10 years. They married her off when she was 2 years old.
Right.
So she's married for 10 years and she's not the gedola yet, she's not bas mitzvah yet.
Right.
And then she decides, I don't want to be married to this. So she just says in front of the bezin, I don't want it anymore. So she doesn't need a get.
Okay, but it doesn't have.
There's no time limit. There's no time limit.
No,
if you wait 10
even
years.
Even after she's.
The time limit it all only is before bas mitzvah. Once she becomes a gedola, it's too late.
Once
she becomes a gedola, it's also only issues from the rabbanon, because she didn't mekabel her own kiddushin. The mother married her off, or the brothers married her off. So the kiddushin is only the rabbanon. Because when she's a ktana, it's a lower level kiddushin the rabbanon. Once she becomes a gedola, it becomes a stronger level kiddushin the rabbanon. So miyun, she just says, I don't want to remain married with this man. Miyun only works if it's a lower level kiddushin rabbanon. Once it becomes a normal kiddushin the rabbanon, so you need to get. So the miyun doesn't help you really.
After she becomes less busy, there another kiddushin extends on to what she.
We leave it with the kiddushin the rabbanon.
Notwithstanding the fact she didn't get the money.
Right. So the mother married her.
The low level of kiddushin becomes the high level when she becomes 12.
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly. So the Gemara asked Akasha. The Gemara says the first time Shimshon sinned was in Aza, because he was sleeping with a Zaina, with a Goyish prostitute, and that's why his punishment took place in the same city in Aza. That's why they poked out his eyes. But you read Aza Azat. The Gemara, what do you mean? But he sinned with a different sheikh, sinned Timnos, before Aza. And the Gemara, no, the first sheikh said he married. The second one was prostitution. What do you mean he married? It's Dach Erga. So that's what the Rambam says. No, he was Megayer. It wasn't a Geiris L'Shem Shamayim. She wasn't a Geir Tzedek. But she was a Geiris. It was a Bezen Shel Hadyaitis. It was a Geiris. So the first one wasn't as bad a sin. The first one was, he pressured her into, she converted. And then she converted Mekabalol Mitzvahs. And she observed Mitzvahs. So that wasn't that bad. It wasn't right, but it wasn't that bad. And the second one was Mamish with a Goyish prostitute in Aza. So since he sinned in Aza, that's why he was punished in Aza. There's a Sefer from Europe that was written probably 100 years ago, Niflois Metoris Alakenu. It's on all of Tanakh. He tries to tie together from different places in Tanakh that this happened in that city in 100 years, 300 years later, that happened in that city. He shows all the connections. Like, there are a couple of Gemaras like that. Like this Gemara, Aza, since he sinned the first time in Aza, that's why he was punished in Aza. So he has such a always complicated cheshbonos. People didn't enjoy reading the Sefer because he never made paragraphs. It's one long paragraph goes on for 30 pages. So somebody was nice enough to reprint it 25 years ago or something, broken down into paragraphs. I just heard that it was reprinted with paragraphs. It's supposed to be a fascinating sefer. It has a lot of connections like this. I think Niflois Metoris Alekeinu, something like that. It's an all of Tanakh, connecting all kinds of things. So now the Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Aimer. Oh, well, we left a little bit on. The one who was his downfall, that was Dalila. Tanya Rabbi Aimer, even if her name wouldn't have been Dalila, we would have called her Dalila on our own. Why? What is the connotation of the name Dalila? Even if she wouldn't have been given that name, why? Dalila is miloshin l'daldil, to wither away. Shadildala is kocho. She ultimately cut off all of his hair. And he was a Nazir, so he finally told her the truth. She asked, why are you so strong? He finally told her the truth, so she weakened him. That's when they were able to control him. That's when they took him and they blinded him. And then Dildala Aslibo, she fooled him. Dildu lost myself. He lost his Ruach HaKodesh, and he wasn't a Shema Mitzvah anymore. Dildu lost Koicha. The first thing the Rebbe said, that she weakened him, Dichsiv, when she cut off all of his hair, he violated the Nazirah, so then he lost his whole strength. Dildalas Liba, she fooled him. She had to ma'oginar tichsiv, but Tera Dalila kihigilas kol Liba. She kept on asking him, "What do you attribute your strength to?" So he said, "One Baba Maisa, another Baba Maisa." He finally told her the truth. So when she realized, but Tera Dalila, she saw kihigilas kol Liba. He revealed his full heart. So Dildalas Liba, she got him to tell her his secret. Dildalas myself, he lost his whole unusual strength. He lost his whole hashvas hashchina tichsiv. V'ulo yada, he didn't, hadn't realized ki Hashem sar me'olam. So now the Gemara wants to know that pasuk that we just quoted. She finally realized that now he's telling the truth. But she thought that the first time, the second time, and third time also. So why is it all of a sudden now? Now she saw. What did she see? Mino yada. How did she know from Farais? After she cut off his hair and they tied him up and he couldn't do anything, then she realized. But it sounds like she realized before. How did she know? And for the Gemara, you look in the guy's eyes and you can tell whether he's telling the truth or not. And for the Gemara, Nikorim Divrei Emes. You can tell. There are some psychologists who can interview a person. A person that felt the Gansa Maisa, he was a woman, was raped by this Gansa Maisa. So there are psychologists who can interview the person to know whether they're telling the truth or they're telling a lie. It's a chush. That's nikarm divrei emes. There's such an expression, karm divrei sheker also. But the Gemara has nikarm divrei emes. This is the original Gemara, karm divrei emes. That's who says that. That's Rav Chanan. Rav Chanan and Rav says like that. Abayah am a different answer. Yodabo shinu is given afruma. Yodabo boos a tzaddik. He was afruma. When we study Tanakh, we get the impression he was not afruma. But the Rambam says it's not so. So the Gemara says also not so. Yodabo dalila nu boos a tzaddik. De lo mapik shem shamayim levatola. And kevin the yom and nizira lekimani. When he said shem shamayim nizira lekimani, Omra, she thought hashtabade kushtam is not going to mention shem shamayim and tell me a lie. So that's how she knew that he's telling the truth. The first one, Rav said nikarm diriyam, she could tell psychologically, and Abai says no, she knew because he wouldn't be motzi shem shamayim lashekem. So it says that how did she get him to tell her the truth? She pressured him and she cajoled him. Vayiki hitzikalo bidvarel, she gnujit and gnujit, kahakta achainik the whole time kala yamim, every day she was pestering him. Valta haltsehu, and she tortured him. What do you mean? My Valtatseil. What did she do to pressure him? How did she succeed in pressuring him? And for the Gemara, one day when they're having Tashmish together, so his desire was building up, and then she stopped in the middle, and he said, "Come on, I want to finish. I want to have the Tashmish." She didn't let him. She said, "I'll only let you have the Tashmish if you tell me the truth." So she used this against him. That's what he says. B'shas Gemara Bia Nishma Tami Tachtav. She ran away and she didn't want to complete the Tashmish unless he's going to tell her the truth. So that's how she pressured him. Then the Gemara is commenting on the whole parsha there. When the Malach appeared to his mother, the pasuk never says what the mother's name was.
Eshes
Manoah. Yeah. The Gemara Bava Basra says mother's name. Anomen from Divrei Hayomim. Slalponi. Something like that. Slalponi. Anomen. They used to write it in Kameyas apparently. So the Gemara dug up a nomen from Divrei Hayomim and he said that was his mother. So the pasuk says the Malach told her she should be careful, she shouldn't eat any treifas. Shouldn't eat any treifas. She's a religious woman. Where is she going to eat treifas? V'yata hishomina v'altish diyayim v'shecha v'altoch li kol tamei. Don't eat any treifa food. The Gemara, my kol tamei. What do you mean? What do you mean shouldn't eat treifa food? V'su. Until the Malach told her she used to eat treifas. And now that he tells her you're going to have a son who's going to be a nazir, so now she's going to stop eating treifas. What's going on? And for the Gemara, no, she's pregnant, and the whole time of the pregnancy, because the son is going to be a boy, is going to be a nazir, so she shouldn't drink wine. What does he tell her? Al tish the yayin v'shecher. The nazir is allowed to drink beer. The nazir is permitted to drink beer. So when the pasuk is yayin v'shecha, he's not allowed to drink. Yayin means grape juice, and shecha means strong wine. But it doesn't include schnapps, he's allowed to drink, and beer, he's allowed to drink. I think there's a mistake. If I'm not mistaken, I think there's a mistake in Hertz's Chumash. Hertz's Chumash state that the Nazir is not allowed to drink beer. That's not correct. It's against Halacha. Halacha says allowed to drink beer. Sheikha means strong wine. Yain hamashaker. So she wasn't allowed to drink wine. She wasn't allowed to drink grape juice. She wasn't allowed to eat grapes. Al techa kol tamei. You're not allowed to eat grapes because the Nazir is not permitted to eat grapes. That's what the Gemara answers. Then the Pasuk says that on one occasion he was so thirsty, Shimshon was so thirsty, and he was in the middle of the desert. Where is he going to get any water to drink? So the Pasuk says, there was Rashi quotes on the last line on the Rashi, on the Amud, there was a lechi hachamor, there was a dead donkey. So he took the jawbone, and at this HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused a miracle to occur, and something cracked open there in the jaw, and the water started to flow out from that. Why did Rabbi Shalom make the nest? It should be from a lechi of a chamor. It could have cracked open. A miracle is a miracle. Could have cracked open like in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Cracked open. Why did Rabbi Shalom make the nest from a lechi of a chamor? And for the Gemara, because he went towards the shiksas, he was attracted towards the Noshim Asurais. That's how Rabbi Shalom saved his life with a treif of lechi of a chamor. And for the Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak bei Rabami, who evil adova tami, he fell in love with the shiksa. That's where his life was saved. He had no water to drink. He was going to die from thirst. So he was, his life was saved from the lechi achamor. Then the Gemara is commenting on the psukim there in Shoftim. That siyata rishmaya, he had divine assistance to make him strong. Vatochel. What do you mean vatochel? What is the word vatochel? It began haschala. He started to have Ruach Hashem lefa'amoy. We're not sure what the word lefa'amoy means. What does Vatochel say? Digmar doesn't mean Miloshen Haskola. Amar Abchama Reb Chanina Cholson Nevoso Shal Yankev Avinu. Vatochel means it started to take effect. What started to take effect? So the Gemara says the Nevuah that Yankev Avinu said when he gave the brachas to all the Shvatim. So he's Shimshon was from Shevet Don. So Yankov Avinu gave in the brachas before he died. And Parshas Vayechi, he don nochesh ali derech, shvifon ali yoyrach. That someone from Sheva Don will be tremendously powerful. So that was Yankov Avinu probably didn't know who the bracha was chalan. So the bracha was chalan Shimshon. Vatochel Ruach Hashem. The birchas Yaakov that he gave a bracha, someone from Sheva Don will become tremendously powerful. That began to take effect on him. Then the pasuk says, Vatochel Ruach Hashem lefa'amoy. B'toch ha-machanet bein Sora le-eshtol, between two cities. What does it mean? Lefa'amoy b'machanet don. What do you mean lefa'amoy? So it sounds like a loshen pa'amon. Pa'amon is a bell. So what do you mean? What does it mean? He started to have a ruach Hashem like a bell. Am Rabbi Yitzchak bei Rabam Imlam Shaisa Shechina mikashkeshes lefan of kizug. He felt as if he heard a bell ringing. He was attracted to follow the bell. So all of the activities that he did to save Bnei Yisrael, he was always guided. He didn't have to figure out on his own. He had a siyata d'shmaya that something was drawing him in that direction. The famoy to draw him like people follow a bell that's ringing. Kizug, like a bell. How do you know? Sifach lefamo b'machnidon, the verb lefamo. Sifasim pamon v'rimon, pamon v'rimon. On the big day Kohen Gadol, they had pamonim. It says v'nishma kol b'vol haKodesh, when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKodashim, walks into the Heichal, everybody should hear. Then the pasuk says, where did he have this Ruach Hashem to guide him? Lefamo bein Soro bein Ashtol, two different cities. Pashup Shah, two different cities. Zog the Gemara has a suggestion, not two different cities. Soro and Ashtol, Amar Abasi, Soro and Ashtol shnei harim gedolim hayu, they were two gigantic mountains. Shimshon was so big and he was so fierce and he was so powerful, he ripped out two different cities and he pushed one into the other. This is usually a melitza that the Gemara has about big Tamir Chacham and know how to say Vayradikat Pilpul. They can meet Oichker Harim Atechan and Zuzu Bisvara. So he didn't do it Bisvara. He did it in Metzias. He had the ability physically to be Oichker Harim Atechan and Zuzu. Then she was told in advance, the Malach told the mother in advance, Hu yochel Hashias Yisrael. What do you mean, Hu yochel? What is the verb yochel? The difficult verb, Hu yochel. So Pashup Shat is, he's going to be the beginning of the Yeshua. Tchila, Loshen Haskalah. He will be the beginning. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Avchama Reb Chanina, Hu Chal Shavosa Shel Avimelech. Avimelech Melech Plishtin made a bris with, I think, Yitzchak. When Yitzchak, Vayirah Baretz, Levad HaRabar Roshan Shehoyah Mimei Avraham. Vayered Yitzchak El Avimelech Melech Grora on his way to go to Mitzrayim. Then the Rabbi Shalom said, Al Tered Mitzrayim Gur Baretz Hazos. And then he made a deal with Avimelech. In Tishka Lila Nidni Lila Nechdi. That was with Avram. With Avram. That was Avram. Oh, okay. Oh, that was Avram, not Yitzchak. Okay. So the deal was that the Jews will not start off with the Plishtim. So why was he permitted? He was killing Plishtim right and left. Why was he permitted? So the answer is, there was an agreement, Zeh Tachazeh. If the Plishtim will be decent to the Jewish people, then we'll be decent to them. That was it was a Zeh Tachazeh. That's the top line of Rashi. Rashi says, like it says, Lo Yachol Devara. If a person takes a neder or shvua, he's not allowed to violate his neder or shvua. So here also, Vayachol Baruch Hashem, Vayachol Hu Yachel Hashias Yisrael, in the lifetime of your son Shimshon, the Malach tells the mother, during the lifetime of your son Shimshon, the shvua Tavi Melech will be mischalel. Why? Because the Plishtim will violate their half of the deal, so you're not bound to observe your half of the deal either, because they would. Right, right. That's what many of the Achrayim said like that. That the Gemara has the Sholosh Shvuos, Hishbeach Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yisrael. We're not going to force the issue to establish a Medina. So that was only binding if the Goyim will not torture us too much. But if the Goyim torture us too much, then we're not mechuyev to keep our half of the deal. Many poskim wrote like that. Before, when the Zionist movement was beginning, so many of the Gedolim said like that. Whenever you have an agreement, so if one side doesn't live up to its half of the deal, the other side is not mechuyev either to live up to the half of the deal. Sometimes you have couples getting divorced. Yeah, miserable cases. They had this case that was in the newspapers 15 years ago, the Ziegler case. I think she's still alive. So the husband made a hetamei rabbanim against his wife. He didn't want to give her a get, because if he gives her a get, then he's not entitled to peres nechsim milug. And I think she had a lot of real estate.
Nursing homes.
So he didn't want to give her a get, and he's not entitled to peres. So he made a hetamei rabbanim, still married to her, and he's entitled to get the peres nechsim milug. What do you mean? Husband is entitled to get peres nechsim milug if he treats her nicely. If he treats her, it says in the Ksuba, I will treat you like a queen. I will treat you like all normal Jewish husbands treat their wife. If the husband doesn't treat the wife nicely, he is not entitled to the Zeh Tachazeh. Everything in the marriage is Zeh Tachazeh. There are some Erech shows Gemaras like that. The halach is based on that assumption. Everything is Zeh Tachazeh. He said they got to have the Meir Rabbanim overnight. So he said the rabbi who had to testify in court, because it was a whole court case about this. So the rabbi said he faxed the Hetamei Rabbanim to Eretz Yisrael, and overnight they sent him 100 signatures. So the court said, show us the signatures. He says, you threw it out already. Naim Aysa. They threw it out. Who are the 100 signatures? Bachrim learning in yeshivas. They get Bachrim. He's supposed to have Hetamei Rabbanim, 100 Rabbanim, not Bachrim learning in yeshivas.
Different Medinas also?
Yeah.
So what happened? They lost the case or not?
I don't remember. I just remember. I never go to the reproductions department in the yeshiva, where they do xeroxing. They do heavy xeroxing there, so I never go there. They have the mail over there. So they sent out notes before Pesach, 10, 15 years ago, I think the case was. So they sent the notes, I should come pick up my mail. So I come to the reproductions department. They have a whole FedEx for me that was sitting there for a couple of months. I took it home a week before Pesach when school was over. And it's a whole thing from the court. They want me to give expert testimony in the court whether this is legitimate, whether this Hetamei Rabbanim is legitimate. Who has 10 days to dedicate to read hundreds of pages of garbage there to find out Hetamei Rabbanim? The whole thing was a fake. What's for Hetamei Rabbanim? Hetamei Rabbanim is the woman refuses to receive the get, and the husband has good cause. He's entitled. Yeah, the husband was a Rasha. He just wanted to get. He didn't want to live with the wife. He wants to marry someone else and he wants to get the peres nechs melu, ashanda racharpa. And they do that now also. They'll make a hetem rabbanim, husband's still entitled to peres nechs melu. Scandalous. Okay, also questionable. Okay. Maybe we'll stop here.
Next week
I won't be. I'll be in Eretz Yisrael. So the week after I'll be back. Yeah. Amen. In this week's Sefer, in Parshas Pikudei, it says when they were traveling in the Midbar, so they had to have badim in order to carry the shulchan, in order to carry the mizbachos, in order to carry the aron. So it says when they were ready to travel, vayosim is badav, they put in the badim. And earlier, when the Chumash describes in Parshas Truma, it describes you have to make an aron with badim. It says lo yasurim imenu, you have to put the badim in, and you're not allowed to take them out. So how can it say here when they were ready to travel, vayosim is badav? The badim were put in from day number one, they're supposed to stay there. So Tosis is bothered with this kasha. Tosis in the end of Yuma, next to the last parak in Yuma, Tosis asks that kasha. The Tosis has two terutzim. So one terutz Tosis says is, lo yasurim imenu, you're not allowed to take the badim out. Not allowed to take the badim out, but the whole time the badim were hanging down. It was like an ear on the side. So the whole time the badim were not removed, but they were hanging in a lower position. Then by Yasim Hezbada, they clicked them up in a higher position to make it easier to carry on the shoulders. That's one suggestion. And Taisis gives another suggestion. Maybe there were two sets of badim. There were one set of badim that was part of the cheptz of the Arayin. That's Layasurim Imenu. But those badim were not at all for the purpose of carrying it, transportation, when they're traveling in the Midbar. There was another set of badim that they would put in by Yasim Hezbada for the purpose of transportation. What kind of a funny answer is that? Wait a minute, two sets of badim? One set of badim is because that's part of the cheftza, the aron, lo yasurim imenu, not allowed to take it out. And the other set was for the purpose of transportation. So what is this all about? Why is lo yasurim imenu? So the Gemara has a famous comment, and the Medrash has it on the Pasuk, that the badim of the aron represent the Tomchei Torah. The aron represents the Talmid HaChachamim, and the badim are the things that you carry it with. You have to have people support yeshivas, you have to have people support Talmid HaChachamim. So the reason there have to be badim that are lo yasur menu, the Tomchei Torah go together with the yeshivas, with the Talmid HaChachamim, means that whatever schar the Talmid HaChachamim are going to get, the Olam Haba will be shared machzah machzah with the Tomchei Torah. It's not the same by other mitzvahs. If I buy someone a pair of tefillin and he wears the tefillin, I did a ma'aseh tzedakah b'chesed, and he did a kima mitzvah tefillin. I get schar for doing the tzedakah and he gets schar for wearing tefillin. And by Torah, the Pasuk says, La Yosir Bemenu, that the Tomchei Torah always go hand in hand, never separated with the Talmid HaChacham. That's what the Gemara says, that the La Yosir Bemenu is only by the Aron, represents the idea of the Tomchei Torah. So that's what Tosfos says. There were two separate sets of Badim. One set of Badim was just to represent this concept of Tomchei Torah, that they're not separated from the yeshivas, from the Talmid HaChacham. And the other badim were for the purpose of transportation. The other badim were not strong enough to carry it. And the badim for the purpose of transportation, that's why Yosem is badim. When they were ready to travel, so they put in the badim for the purpose of transportation. But it's a hashivas to the Tomchei Torah. That's how the Gemara says. Next week, no shir. It's next to the last parak. I don't remember the daf. Ayin Beis or something? Something like Ayin Beis. I think so. Shkoyach. Thank you very much. There are a lot of anim, that's for sure. Yeah. No, I don't know.